Welcome to A.T. Stewart & Sons Ministries. It's my joy today to introduce to you my oldest son, Jesse Stewart, who is joining me in this ministry.
Yeah, you can give it up for that. If you were here with us on Sunday, you saw us play that video in all three of our services, and I love that video for several reasons. One, because I love John Michael, who's here. Many of you guys know John Michael. He's amazing. And another reason I love that video is because it shows the impact that this ministry has had on so many people. I mean, when this church was founded, they met on the campus of FGCU with a heart and a desire to reach college students. And that was 18 years ago. And now, as we sit here and we look at stories like this, just a great reminder that God does want to do something on the campus of FGCU, that God has been doing something on the campus of FGCU, and that now God wants to do something in your life. And another cool thing about that video is that it also talks about Fall Retreat, which we actually are doing this coming up weekend. And so afterwards, we're going to have a meeting. If you're going to be going to Fall Retreat, we'll be meeting about 10 minutes after this service ends. We'll be going over to the multi-purpose room and hanging out and hearing some instructions about that. But we're super excited about that weekend. And so what I want to do now as we just kind of start off our time together is just to pray for this weekend. I know many of you will be there. And if you're not going to be there, please be praying for us that God would just move, that he would just do something amazing, and that all of us would leave that place with a deeper desire to follow Jesus and a deeper desire to look more like him. So let me just pray for us. God, we just thank you so much for just stories like John Michael and for just the impact that this ministry has had in so many people's lives. And my prayer, God, is that you would just continue to show your grace and your love and your mercy and your kindness to so many people, Father, on the campus of FGCU. For those who don't know you, my prayer, God, is that you would show up in a mighty way in their lives and that you'd use this ministry as well as the many other ministries, Father, that serve this campus faithfully, Lord, to reach those who are far from you. And my prayer, God, is that this weekend at Fall Retreat, Lord, that we just have an amazing time worshiping you, that each and every person there would encounter you in an intimate, personal way. And that you would just move in our lives in a way that we can never, ever be who we were. And I pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus, our great God and Savior. Amen. Whew. All right, if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and open those up to Mark chapter 2. That's where we're going to be tonight, so feel free to turn those on or open those up to Mark chapter 2. For those who might be new here, this is your first time with us, thank you so much for spending your Tuesday night hanging out with us. My name is Jesse. I have the amazing privilege and opportunity to be the college pastor here. And so we're so thankful that you decided to join us as we're actually about to wrap up a series called Fear Not. So this is going to be our last week in this series. Next week, we have an awesome night planned. So next week, we have a worship night here on October 5th. So you definitely want to be there. And afterwards, Windshape Camp has been kind enough to sponsor our after party, which is going to include four Chick-fil-A boxes for every single one of you. If that's not enough to get you out of bed in the morning, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. In fact, we're going to have different options. If you're gluten-free or if you're vegan, we're going to have different options for you there. And so Windshape is going to show up, and they're just going to love on us, and we're going to be able to hear a little bit more information about them. And so it's going to be a great night next week, so make sure that you're here. But tonight, as I mentioned, we're going to be finishing up this series on anxiety. And so what we've been doing, if you haven't been with us, is just looking at this series called Fear Not. Because fear, as we've been talking about, is the root behind so much of our anxiety. And so we've been talking about different sources of our anxious lives, such as the fear of the future, which we talked about last week when Mark was with us. And then we talked about the fear of failure, and we talked about the fear of missing out. And tonight we have one more fear. One more fear I want to talk about that I believe many of us in this room can relate to. And my hope is that we can live less anxious lives by the time we finish our time together. So Mark chapter 2 is going to help us do that. So my sophomore year of college, I was living the life, and February 14th was making its way around. And once again, your boy was single. But this year, unlike most years, I actually had something planned because I had recently met some people who decided to throw a party for everybody who didn't have a significant other or somebody special to share this day with. Because nothing says misery loves company more than a bunch of single people hanging out on Valentine's Day. Am I right? Let's go. You guys get it. You get it. And I got it. I mean, these were clearly my people. My people. And so that night, I was excited. I went over there because I was happy that I wasn't spending this night by myself. And so I show up to this house, and I walk inside. And I notice pretty quickly that I don't really know a lot of people here, which is okay. So I start to go, and I start to mingle, and I start to try to have some conversations. But I realized very quickly that nobody in this room was really interested in talking to me. Nobody really had a desire to really engage in a conversation. So, naturally, I started gravitating towards the two friends, these two girls who had invited me to come to this party. He was throwing it. Because at least I knew them, and we had a relationship. And so I started making my way towards them, but then I ran into another problem. Because they were so busy connecting with other people that they didn't have enough time for me anyways. So once again, I hit a roadblock. And so as I'm sitting here at this party, feeling like nobody cares that I am here, I decide, you know what, I'm just going to post up against the wall. There's a TV that was on, something weird was showing, I don't know what it was, something like Sesame Street. And so I just post up against this wall, and I just start hanging out, watching this TV in this living room. And there's no way I was against this wall for more than a couple minutes when one of their roommates came up from downstairs. And when she did, she walked by me. And I had met this girl before, but definitely did not know her well. And she shouldn't have been at this party anyways because she had a boyfriend, so she was too good for us. But anyway, she decides to come up from downstairs, probably just to check on all the lesser people in the room. And as she does, she walks by me. And then she says something to me that I definitely was not prepared for. Because she was like, "Hey, why are you standing by this wall all by yourself?" "Oh, it's because you don't have anybody to talk to? It's because you don't know anybody in this room? Is that why you're here all alone?" I mean, just like straight up called me out. Like unapologetically. Like she was like, this was not like her being funny. Like she just apparently hated me and decided to call me out. And so I tried to like cover it up. I'd be like, "Oh no, I'm fine. I'm up here." You know, like I tried to do something, but it was very clear that I couldn't. And she was right. And you know what? The fact that she was right is what made it hurt even more. Because even though I was in this room surrounded by so many people, I felt so alone. I felt so out of place. And soon after she called me out, I realized something. I don't belong here. And so I quickly got my things and I just went home, leaving that place more alone than when I got there. Leaving that place more out of place than when I arrived. And you know, looking back now, what makes that story so devastating and so crushing is that I saw those people as my people, right? I mean, the whole reason I was going to this party in the first place was because these people were all single just like me. And all of us in our lives, we have people who we consider to be my people. It's the people that we enjoy spending time with, or it's the people that we want to do life with. And these can both be people that we know, like those two girls at the party, or even people that we don't know, like all the other single people that were there. But it's the people in our lives that we consider to be my people because we want them to like us. We want to be around them. We want to have a relationship with them, even if we don't know them yet. But even though I felt like these were my people walking into that night, since I didn't feel like I belonged, I really felt a sense of rejection. Like they didn't want anything to do with me. Because sometimes we all know this feeling where our people don't really want to be around us or really want to do anything with us. Because as much as it hurts at times, the truth is sometimes our people don't want to be our people. They don't want to spend time around us. They don't really want to hang out with us. And the thought of that is what makes us anxious. And that's really the heart behind the fear of rejection, the last source of anxiety that we're talking about tonight. And each week, as you guys know, I've given you just a simple definition of the different sources of anxiety. And so here's tonight's definition of the fear of rejection. Here it is. The fear of the rejection is the fear that my people don't want to be my people. It's the fear that the people I want to accept me, that I want to hang out with, I want to do life with, will simply say, "No, I'm good. I'm fine." And so the reason that we stress and the reason we get anxious and the reason we find ourselves feeling this way is because we're afraid that these people aren't going to like us, they're not going to want to spend time with us, or we're going to find ourselves feeling this sense of rejection from them. And so that's the source of anxiety that we're talking about tonight. And as we look at this passage in Mark chapter 2, what we're going to see is somebody else whose people don't want to be his people. Someone whose name is Levi. And as we walk through the story, what we're also going to see is as he's standing there one day, minding his own business, somebody else also decides to call him out. So we're going to start reading in Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And so here's a little context. Jesus' ministry is really just getting started. And one thing that Mark's gospel emphasizes is the popularity of Jesus. And so Jesus is crazy famous. All these people are following him. All these people want to be around him. And he's still at this part of his ministry, though, that he is getting people to become his followers, to become his disciples. And so let's begin reading Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. It says, he, meaning Jesus, went out again beside the sea. And all of the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. So Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee. There's a huge crowd of people with him. He's been teaching them. But as he's there, he looks over at this tax booth, and he sees this guy named Levi. Now, this story is found in some of the other Gospels, and in one of those accounts, Levi is actually referred to by the name Matthew. So many people believe that Levi here is actually the disciple of Jesus, or Jesus' disciple Matthew, the one who wrote the first book in the New Testament, the first gospel that we have in the New Testament. And the reason that Levi is sitting here at this booth is because he's a tax collector. And because he was a tax collector, Levi would have been passionately hated by his people, the Jews, because they would have saw him as first a traitor and second a thief. They would have saw him as a traitor because he would have worked for the Romans, the very people who were suppressing the Jews at this time. And they would have saw him as a thief because the way that tax collectors made money in this day is they'd go around overtaxing their family and friends in order to make more of a profit. So even though they maybe needed to only get $10, they say they need $20 and then they pocket the $10 that they really don't owe. And so as this crowd was with Jesus, walking with him, as they would have looked over and saw Levi standing at that tax booth, what they would have thought to themselves is that is a horrible human being. Instead of helping us gain freedom from the Romans, he's contributing to our slavery. Instead of taking care of his own, he is taking from us. He's taking from those who are his family and his friends. And so there's no doubt that Levi's people, the Jews, did not want to be his people. These guys absolutely hated him. And see, Levi, because of his career choice, he knew why people rejected him. He knew why his people didn't want to be his people. But unfortunately for us today, we often don't. When we get rejected by those who we want to accept us the most, so often we don't know why, do we? Or at least not a good reason why. And so because of that, when we find ourselves in this position where Levi is, where our people don't want to be our people, we find ourselves asking the question, why don't people accept me? Why do my friends constantly do things on the weekend, but then they never invite me to go to it? Why do more people not want to date me? Why do my roommates not want to room with me again next year? Why don't people accept me? And whenever this happens, we automatically think that something must be wrong with us, don't we? We think that we're the problem. We're not outgoing enough, or we're not attractive enough, or we're not fun enough for all these people to want to be around. So often when our people don't want to be our people, we see ourselves as being the reason. And no doubt, Levi saw himself as the problem. So you can imagine how much his heart must have raced when he saw Jesus, this famous Jewish rabbi, walking towards him at this tax booth, expecting him to treat him the way that so many of his friends and his family did. But when Jesus walks up to Levi, he says something to him that he definitely was not prepared for. Because look what it says at the end of verse 14. And he, Jesus, said to him, Levi, follow me. And he rose and he followed him. I mean, just think about how shocked and confused Levi must have been in this moment. Because even though he had been disowned by his people, even though they had labeled him as a heartless human being, in this moment, Jesus, this teacher with all this popularity, has walked up to him and said to him, "Hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to be my disciple. I want you to be my apprentice, Levi. I want you to be my friend." But just think about how thrilled he must have been to hear these words come out of the mouth of Jesus. In fact, he's so thrilled that he decides to throw a party to celebrate this. Because even though his people don't want to be his people, Jesus does. Because Jesus intentionally engages in this conversation with Levi. Jesus intentionally initiates this conversation because that's how much Jesus wants to spend time with him. And so that's exactly what Jesus does. Because look what it says in the following verse. It says, as he's reclined at table in his house, so Jesus is reclining at the table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. So Levi throws this huge dinner party. In fact, Luke's gospel tells us how big this dinner party was, that all of these people are coming over to his house, these other tax collectors and these people who've been labeled sinners, which means they aren't even trying to live life that honors God. And no doubt for hours, they ate, they laughed, they told stories, and just had a great time sitting in the presence of Jesus. And I'm sure as Levi is in this moment, next to his new mentor and his new friend, he's loving it. Because he can't believe that Jesus has chosen him to be one of his followers. But then more than likely towards the end of this party, some other guests decide to show up. And they're a little bit confused about what's happening. Because look at what verse 16 says. It says, and the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And so these Pharisees crash this party because they have no idea why Jesus is choosing to be with these people. Now, if you grew up in church, anytime you see the Pharisees pop up in the passage, you know that these are the bad guys, right? The ones that Jesus is always having this confrontation with. But what we have to remember is during this day, this wasn't the case. Instead, the Pharisees were seen as the spiritual professionals of their day. They were the people that everybody would have looked up to. They were the people that other people would have aspired to be more like. But when they walk into this house and they see Jesus eating with these tax collectors and sinners, they don't get it. And they don't like it. Because since they don't accept these people, they don't see any reason why Jesus should accept them either. And see, when they ask this derogatory question, I think we have every reason to believe that Levi would have heard them. Because either A, he's already a part of this disciples, this group of people who the Pharisees decide to talk to, or because this is his house, he's clearly still here. And so what Levi hears is these people who he respects the most saying, "Why in the world would Jesus want anything to do with somebody as messed up as you?" Think about how insecure Levi must have felt in that moment. In that moment, how much he must have felt like he didn't belong. Especially since what the Pharisees were saying was true. He is a tax collector. He is a sinner. He has a past. In fact, a very recent past where he made some really bad choices. And so if these spiritual professionals reject him, it makes sense that Jesus would want to reject him too, doesn't it? Just imagine how Levi must have felt in this moment. And it's not really hard for us to put ourselves in his shoes, is it? Because we all know what it's like to be finally accepted by a group of people, to have our tribe, to have the people in our lives that we see as our people. But then when we're spending time with them, all of a sudden something happens. Maybe somebody makes a comment that causes us to feel insecure. Or somebody joins the group who makes us feel unwanted. Or we have that person ask us a question that makes us think they must know what I did this past weekend. And when that happens, just like what the Pharisees do here, we find ourselves facing the reality of who we are and what we've done. We find ourselves sitting in this moment, realizing who we are. And that makes us so nervous, doesn't it? Oh, that makes us so anxious. Because there are things about us that we don't want other people to know about, things that we're ashamed of, things that we feel like if our friends knew this about me, man, there's no way they would accept me. And so this voice that Levi hears out loud sounds much like a voice that we often hear in our heads. A voice that says, why in the world would anybody want anything to do with somebody as messed up as you? Because we think to ourselves, man, if my friends fully knew everything that I had done, if my people fully knew who I really was, there's no way that they would accept me. They would reject me just like the Pharisees are choosing to reject Levi in the story. Because what we think is if people truly knew who I am, if people truly know who I am, there's no way they would accept me. And so even though we can be around our people, even though we can be in a room full of all these people that we know, we can find ourselves feeling just like I did at that party. Completely out of place. Completely by ourselves. And in that moment, we can have the thoughts go through our head because of our fear of rejection that cause us to say to ourselves, I don't belong here. I don't belong in this place. I don't belong around these people. And sometimes we even take it to the point that we think, I don't belong in this relationship with God. Because this fear of rejection doesn't just stop with people, but so often it bleeds over into our relationship with God. And when that happens, just like me at that party, what do? We want to leave. We want to leave the friendships. We want to leave the relationships and maybe even try to leave the faith. Because we don't want that to happen to us, what happens to Levi in this story, to be called out, to be shamed, to be rejected because of what we've done. Because what we think to ourselves is the people fully knew who I was. There's no way that they would want anything to do with me. There's no way that they would want to be around me. If people knew who I was in the deep core and the things that caused me to have so much shame and so much embarrassment, they would walk away from me. Because in those moments, we feel like nobody really wants to have a relationship with me. Nobody really wants to be my people, including God. Because why would he? Why would he want anything to do with somebody as messed up as me? And so as Levi sits here in this moment, thinking about the question that the Pharisees have just asked, Jesus decides to step into the conversation. In fact, he doesn't even allow his disciples to answer the question and says he decides to answer for them. And notice what it says in verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so in typical Jesus fashion, he points out once again how the Pharisees don't get it. He points out once again how they've gotten it wrong. Because after giving this very just this common proverb about how it's not the healthy, but instead those who are sick, who needs a doctor, just to kind of get everybody on the same page, he basically says to the Pharisees, man, you guys don't understand. You want to shame and belittle these people because of what they've done. You want to dismiss them thinking that they don't belong with me. But what you don't realize is I didn't come for perfect people. I came for people who can't get it right, who don't get it right, who will never get it right. And in this moment, it's like Jesus wants to make it very clear to these Pharisees that yes, I fully know who these people are. And I still want to be with them. Because I still love them. And what Jesus does here is so comforting. Because Jesus is fully aware of who Levi is. Jesus is fully aware of everything these people labeled as sinners have done. But he still wants to be with them. He still wants to save them. Why? Because Jesus still loves them. And so what Levi gets to experience in this moment is what we long for, what we crave when we have the fear of rejection causing us to be anxious. Because in this moment, Levi is fully known and he's also truly loved. Tim Keller, an author and a pastor that I love, wrote a book one time that gets to really the heart of why I think we fear rejection so much. Why we feel like we have to hide from people, to pretend like somebody that we're somebody we're not, or lie about our past because we're afraid that they won't accept us if they truly know who we are. Because listen to what Tim Keller says. He says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. We'd agree with that. If somebody loves us but they don't know us, like, that's nice, but it doesn't seem real. And look what he says next. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. For people to truly know who we are and say, "Now, I don't want anything to do with you," is what we fear in our lives. I mean, think about how true that is. That's what we've been talking about tonight. The thought that if somebody fully knew all the things that I've done, if they fully are aware of all the sin in my life, there's no way they would want anything to do with me. So again, we hide it. We push it down. We pretend to be somebody that we're not. Or we just walk around anxious, afraid that one day we're not going to belong and we're going to feel all alone. But in those moments where we're afraid, if we are fully known, that we won't be truly loved, we've forgotten something that this story reminds us of. We've forgotten something that I feel like is such a beautiful moment in the story. Is that Jesus has already fully known us and still fully loves us. Because this is what Tim Keller goes on to say. He says, but to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. Because the amazing reality of the gospel, the amazing reality of what God has done, is the fact that he fully knows who you are. But yet he chose to send his son anyways. To send his son to come into this world and go to a cross so that he could seek and save those of us who were desperately lost in our sin. And when Jesus stepped into this world from his throne, John tells us that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to his people, but his people did not want to be his people. He came to the Jews and they said, no, we're good. We don't want you as a Messiah. You're not who we want. And they rejected him. In fact, they handed him over to be killed because he wasn't the Messiah that they wanted. So Jesus knows exactly what it feels like to not belong. Jesus knows exactly what it feels like to be rejected. Jesus knows exactly what it feels like for his people to not want to be his people. Man, the beautiful story of the cross and the beautiful story that we get to rest in today is that Jesus was willing to be rejected by his people so that us in this room would not have to be rejected by our God. Jesus was rejected by his people so us in this room could be accepted by his Father. so our God could love us and know us. And just like Levi in this story, we can be forgiven of our sins. We can be accepted and brought into this amazing relationship with God. One, where we can let him know everything about us. One, where we can be real about even the depths of our hearts. And we never have to fear that he's going to say no. We never have to fear that he's going to push us away. Instead, he will always love us and hold us and embrace us. We can be fully known and truly loved by God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he died and rose again, we can come to God, confessing our sin, repenting of it, and being real about who we are, never being afraid that God is going to push us away. Tim Keller says, this is what we want more than anything else. And so what that means is what your heart longs for, what your heart needs, you have in your relationship with Jesus. But man, here's our problem. We're so quick to forget that. We're so quick to forget that the acceptance we have in Jesus is the only acceptance that we really need. And in the moments that we forget that, in the moments that we fear other people's rejection, it's because we don't trust that Jesus is enough. Now, we get that he's good. In fact, we would even say that he's great. But honestly, we don't trust that Jesus is enough. And we think that we need more. But the reality is we don't. We don't need more. Because what our heart longs for, we already have in Jesus. Because yes, to be fully known and truly loved by the people around us, oh, that's great. That is wonderful. But it will never be enough. Because we always will live with this fear in the back of our mind that we can do something to lose that love. That we can do something to cause that person to say, nah, I'm good. Not anymore. Not after all you've done. I'm done. But with God, we never have to fear that happening. Because here's what's so amazing about the cross. Is that God knew everything that you were going to do before you were born. All the things that you were going to do. All the shame that now sits with you because of all the stuff that you've done. God knew that was going to happen. God knew your sin, and he chose to save you anyways. And that's what should blow our minds, is that God knew who you were and still said, yes, I'm sending my son. Yes, I'm dying for him. Yes, I will be willing to put my son on a cross to experience hell so that this person can be in my family, so this person can be loved and accepted and forgiven, and they can always have a place where they say, I belong here, that I belong here. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God wanted to be with you. In Jesus, you have what your heart longs for. You have a relationship where you are fully known and still truly loved. So, man, you guys can come on up. And this is my challenge as we wrap up tonight and as we wrap up this series. My challenge is simple. Trust that Jesus is enough. Trust that he's enough. Man, if you hear what I'm saying tonight, you're like, Jesse, that's great. Like, I get that. Like, that's awesome. God's good. I get that. But I still need to be accepted. I still need other people in my life to give me that validation. I still need that in my life. Then, man, you don't trust that Jesus is enough. You don't trust that he's enough. Because even if every single person in this world says, no, I want nothing to do with you. Even if all your friends walked away from you, even if your parents disowned you, even if your siblings decided that they wanted you out of their lives and all you had was Jesus, even in that moment, you would have everything that you need. Because you would have the God of the universe with you, loving you, embracing you, and still in a relationship with you. Jesus is enough. The gospel screams it. The scriptures show it. And my hope tonight for myself and for you is that we realize that. Because that's how we overcome the fear of rejection in our lives, is realizing that with Jesus, we have what we want. We have what we need. A relationship where we are fully known and fully loved always, no matter what. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this passage. Thank you so much for just the amazing words that we get to look at tonight, that you are a God who did not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners. God, I confess the moments in my life that I forget that. The moments in my life where I feel like I need to have acceptance from other people, where I fear being rejected because of who I am or because of what I've done. God, my prayer is in those moments that I would remember, Jesus, that you are enough, that you are everything that I need in my life. That even if everybody walked away, even if nobody wanted to be around me, even if every single person who meant something to me decided that they wanted to leave, even then, God, you would be enough, because in that moment, I would still have my Creator and my God and my Maker who went to the cross so that he could be with me, so my sins could be forgiven, so that I could spend eternity in your presence. God, be quick to remind us of this. In the moments of our life that we fear, be quick to remind us of who you are. And may we sing to you right now, Lord. May we worship you right now. And may we rest and find peace in our anxious lives. And we pray this in the great name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.